It's a rolling, not a stop. Watch shit, don't ever stop. This a flow that got the block hot. Shit got super hot. Ay, give me my respect. Give me my respect. I just took it left like on ambidex. Bitch, I moved through London with the Euro steps. Got a sneaker deal and I ain't break a sweat. Catch me cause I'm gone. Out of there, I'm gone. I go from 6 to 23 like I'm LeBron. Serving up a pack, serving up a pack. Niggas pulling gimmicks cause they scared of rap. Ay. Funny how they shook, ay, got these niggas shook. Pulling back the curtain by myself, take a look. Ay. I'm a bar spitter, I'm a hard hitter. Yeah, I'm light skinned, but I'm still a dark nigga. I'm a wig splitter, I'm a tall figure. I'm an unforgiving, wild ass dog nigga. Something wrong with him. Got them all bitter. I'm a bill printer. I'm a grave digger. Yeah, I am what I am. I don't have no time for no misunderstandings again. It's a rolling, not a stop. Why shit don't never stop.
Mute out. There we go. Oh my goodness. We wilding out today. I think it's Hurricane Michael messing around with this server right now. They tripping, man. What's going on, fella? What's going on, CC Negative? What's going on with y'all? How y'all doing today?
We doing good.
Oh
what's going
man.
Today? What you mean?
Big T.
It's
I thought you
good.
Was having a hurricane party or something.
That's hey. Your song. I can tell that's your song. You ain't want to cut it off.
No, I ain't want to cut
it
off. I was
over
there jamming.
Drew Brees broke the record. Drew Brees broke the record and Big T
wilding
out.
I'm wilding out, though. I'm wilding out, man.
He's drinking that Kool-Aid now, later. That's all
I don't know. I ain't drinking it. I took a sip. I'm not fully drinking it yet. I took a sip.
Man,
I made it real
been,
sweet.
He been drinking it, but, you know, he get on Drew Brees when he mess up, though.
Oh, I do get on Drew Brees. Y'all know I do. Y'all know I do, man. But, man, thank y'all for tuning in to Overtime Sports Talk, man, right here on WTXD Talk Radio. I'm your boy, Big T, along with Sports Director Nader and the lovely CC Hoff for getting it in with us tonight. Oh, man, what's up, y'all? The Saints beat up on the Washington Redskins on Monday Night Football. CC, what's your thoughts on that? How did you feel about that game?
All right, truthfully, I ain't watched the game for the second half, y'all. My shows was on. I was like, I know they're going to win, so it's nothing. So I was living back and forth just to tell the truth. So I did catch the second half and did some highlights, and then I rewatched the game at work. So, but that was such a good game. A lot of people were saying it was a big game because everybody wanted to break the record for most passing yards, but I don't think it was fixed. I just think the Saints came out, offense, defense, special teams, coaches, water boy, everybody just came out, and he had to hype it up. Oh, Drew Brees can break this record, and I knew it was going to erupt in the dome. But it was just, like, such a good game on both sides of the ball. So, hey, hand clap.
Yeah.
That's top two bottles for the Saints. That felt like one of the wins that it just, like, they can't lose no more, but knock on wood. Hopefully they don't.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good win. Knowing, you know, going into the game, obviously they had a lot of distractions with him breaking a record and stuff like that. And, you know, for him not to let that get to him and for them to keep just putting up points, I mean, you could tell, like, obviously they wanted to get the record, but, I mean, you got to think, like, they were – you know, Mark Ingram was back. They was giving Mark Ingram the goal line touches, and he got two touchdowns. You know, so they brought him back in a major way. And then, you know, him breaking that record, you know, with Traquan Smith catching that 62-yard pass. I mean, it was lit. You know what I'm saying? It was lit. And, you know, the thing is, man, you know, I know sometimes, you know, we get on him because sometimes he has rough games and stuff like that. But, listen, the guy's top five quarterback all time in my opinion. You got to give him props, man, for everything that he's done. You know, I mean, just coming here after nobody wanted to take a chance on him, just coming here and, you know, the whole story of him, you know, going to Miami and the doctors not passing him as far as his physical is concerned they told Nick Saban, you know, hey, you know, he's definitely not going to – he's not passing his physical, so let's not sign him, let's not sign him. And, you know, he ended up, you know, coming to New Orleans. They gave him a chance, and, you know, the rest is history. But, you know, what's crazy is what a lot of people don't forget is that, you know, a lot of things could have changed. If he, you know, if he signed with Miami, you know, like if he would have signed with Miami, would Saban have went to Alabama? You know, where the hell would the Saints? Where the hell would the Saints have been these last 10 years? You know, where what would have happened with the Saints franchise, with the quarterback situation, everything? You know, would we have that Super Bowl ring? Just a lot of stuff, man. So, you know, I'm thankful that he broke it. I'm thankful that we have him as a quarterback. And have had him as a quarterback. So big ups to him, man. And then just, man, him breaking the record and then cherishing that moment with his family on the sidelines and telling his kids, you know, they can do whatever they want and become whatever they want with hard work and dedication. So, I mean, that was cool. That was a cool moment, you know, especially for the kids that were watching the game and stuff like that. It was a good moment, you know, it was a good moment. And, you know, that's and like we were saying earlier, Big T, me and you, you know, outside of the show, like, this isn't just his last record that he can break. You know, he's still, you know, one touchdown away from being in the 500 touchdown club. You know, I think he's like 40 touchdowns away from breaking that record. You know,
he's
and then
one touchdown away.
No, he's one touchdown away from getting into the 500 club. He's 40 touchdowns. He's 40 touchdowns away from beating the NFL history of touchdown passes thrown. So he can definitely get that, you know what I'm saying? He can definitely get it, probably not this year, but, you know, if he comes back next year, obviously he has an awesome chance at, you know, getting that. But, you know, he's done a lot. He deserves it. He's a good dude. He doesn't just do a lot on the football field. You know, he does it in the community. He helps out, you know, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, think they know what he does, but I mean, he definitely invests his money into the city. I mean, for an example, when I was an intern at Fox 8 News, he did where he went to this high school, not high school, he went to this elementary school, and he basically paid to, you know, get a turf set up, like a turf field set up for them. He gave them equipment. He basically set up like this garden where the kids, instead of them having to eat lunch and not have fresh like produce, basically what he did was they built this huge garden in the school, and the food that the children eat, like the produce and stuff, comes from that garden, which was like awesome. Like it was like some crazy stuff. Like it was something that I never experienced. Like, I don't know if y'all seen the picture I posted with me and him when he broke the record, when I looked like super young and he looked like super young. That was actually at that event where he did for the elementary school, which is kind of crazy. So, I mean, like I said, he's done a lot for the community. He's done a lot, man. And, you know, a lot of people want to build a statue. And I was actually thinking about this when he broke the record. You know, how cool would it be for them to build a statue and put it where Lee Circle used to be? That would be tight, right?
I think it'll be kind of cool. I don't know how people would really, you know, everybody.
White or black aren't going to be mad about it. It isn't about racism. I mean, it's our quarterback. The dude did a lot for this city and franchise.
Right, exactly.
So I think putting his trophy like at Lee Circle, that would be amazing.
He'll be fine.
But there was a lot of players before Drew Brees that did a lot for the city too, but you just didn't really hear about it. Because I know when I was in school, a lot of the Hornets players used to come to our school and just do different things, you know, with the school and donate money to different schools and stuff. So even though he does that for his charity work, it's a lot of people that do the same thing that he do. They just don't get the same recognition.
Well, the reason why is because they're those people for the Hornets didn't bring a championship to this city. You know what I'm saying? So
that's one big thing that hurts. I think that one thing
that hurts Anthony Davis, and
talking about that, that hurts Anthony Davis because he does a lot, but they don't speak on it a lot because they haven't won a lot. And that's the bad thing about the Hornets organization. I mean,
it's kind of like this. Why hasn't Drew Brees won an MVP award? You know what I'm saying? And all of his times in the NFL, why hasn't he won an MVP award? Why? Because, you know, most of his teams that he's played on with the Saints, the defenses have been bad. You know, they don't make it to the playoffs. We had 7-9 seasons, three straight seasons in a row? And, you know, that's the reason. And it's kind of like Anthony Davis. You know, Anthony Davis is one of the best players in the NBA. And in his opinion, but, you know, that might be true. You know, it might be true. And we might think the same as Anthony Davis, but if his team isn't winning, if his team isn't going to the playoffs consistently, if they aren't winning championships, then, you know, that's not going to happen. And it simply looks like OKC. Like, OKC, Russell Westbrook got it. But look what Russell Westbrook had to do to get it. How many triple doubles Russell Westbrook had to have to win the MVP award? Even though his team didn't really do anything, but you couldn't take it away from the man that he had so many triple doubles in this NBA.
Right.
You know. So it all goes back to that. It's all about success. Obviously, Russell had success on the team before. You know, they made it to the playoffs multiple times. You know. The only thing really, he hasn't won an MVP award, which, to be honest, if he continues this, what he's doing right now, I think he definitely is on pace for it. I mean, it's going to come down to him and Mahomes as far as QB, you know?
I think
that's an award that I feel like he should win. And being that he broke the passing record, if he continues this, I think he should win it, you know? But the sucky part about winning the MVP award is if the MVP award winner goes to the Super Bowl, they tend to lose the Super Bowl. You know, so I don't know. Tom Brady has won it and lost in the Super Bowl. Matt Ryan has won it and lost in the Super Bowl. So I don't know. I don't know if we should even try to. You know what I'm saying?
Now look, let's talk about some of these role players in this game on Monday night, man. And I want to give a big MVP. I want to give a most valuable player award in this game, other than Drew Brees, to Mr. Tequan Smith. He played an awesome game, man. I mean, he played a great game. Had three catches for 111 yards, two touchdowns. Great, big touchdown for the Drew Brees record breaker of 79 yards or something like that, or 69 yards, something like that. So. Big shout out to him, man. He played his behind off. And also, I gotta finally come out and say it. I'm gonna do it. Big shout out to our first round draft pick.
Marcus Davenport.
He came out and played another great game. He did his job. He did a great job in the game.
Oh, for sure.
With a lot of issues. So yeah, definitely. And also big shout out to our man Cam Jordan, did his thing again. He's coming up. He's definitely getting the season going. So a big shout out to him. So shout out to those guys, man. That's a few people. I want to send shout out.
And also too, Big T, we got to give a big shout out to Justin Hardy for coming.
Yes.
You know, as soon as Marshawn Lattimore left the game with a concussion, he came right in and he started balling. I mean, he was balling. He got an interception. And, I mean, he changed the momentum of the game at that point, which was awesome. So, big shout-out to him, you know. Big shout-out to him for being put in that situation. And, you know, the thing about it, he actually tweeted and said, you know, last year I didn't even know how to backpedal. And now, you know, I'm catching interceptions. And he's like, if that don't tell you there's a God, then I don't know what, you know.
I would have never told nobody I didn't know how to backpedal. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have told nobody.
That's what he tweeted. You know, at the end of the day, it's just tight. It's just tight to see that, you know, he came in and, you know, when Marshawn Lattimore went down, I was like thinking in my head, oh, Lord, here we go. This is going to be a shootout game. But,
Yep, but they ended up controlling the clock, and that was one thing, you know, that y'all said last week. I think you said it, Big T, that, you know, when Ingram comes back, they're going to be able to control the clock more, and the defense is going to have more time to rest because they're controlling the clock and not giving the opposing offense the ball right away like they were. So,
right.
So big shout out to them. Big shout out for putting Mark Ingram in there and giving him the carries, knowing that he was fresh. He looked pretty solid. Alvin Kamara, obviously, he took a step back because, you know, it was kind of like Ingram's return game. So we'll see how they split the carries with them. Hopefully they split the carries evenly like they did last year. And like you said, Big T, Tre'Quan Smith had a huge game being, you know, Ted Ginn was out with a groin injury. So big shout out to him for the 2 touchdown catches. And, man, the offensive line really put it down, man. They really controlled the trenches. And they really did their thing, man. So big shout out to them. And Mike Thomas. Mike Thomas is a savage. Mike Thomas against Josh Norman. You know, Mike Thomas only had 4 catches for 74 yards, but Josh Norman was talking buku smack to him, you know, saying that, you know, trying to get in his head. And what was really funny is Mike Thomas got in his head and did the reverse psychology on him. And then after the game, he was talking smack about Mike Thomas, saying he was hitting them after plays, trying to talk smack, and that Mike Thomas was a clown, and this, that. And then after the game, once Mike Thomas hit Twitter and seen all the videos and stuff from the interview, he started getting in a Twitter war with Josh Norman, and then Josh Norman deleted all his tweets. It was so funny. It was like, man, Mike Thomas put Josh Norman in his place.
Would you say CC?
Very petty. No, I was saying screenshots. He couldn't really delete it because everybody was going to screenshot that to use it against him, and that is what they did. I love petty Twitter. That's like my go-to.
Me too.
My pleasure is petty Twitter. And the Saints, the fans and players are very petty because Cam Jordan had his petty moments also on their Monday.
He always had his petty moments all the time.
Like, this game was really, I noticed in the last four games that the Saints played, you could see the progression of the game in every game because that first game against Tampa Bay, you know, everybody was upset. They lost, but they came back with the Browns. Everybody was still upset, even though it was a win, but it wasn't a big win like they thought it would be. Then they came in Atlanta and then whooped Atlanta. You could see the progression in every game from the offense and the defense because the Saints was giving us everything that we asked for every game, what it started to do in every game. Like, y'all were asking for a defense to step up, and we noticed in that Atlanta game, defense stepped up when needed, in New York when needed, and also defense stepped up majorly when one of their key players, like Lattimore, went down. And like you said, Hardy came in, he got his interception. What can I say about that interception? Was something, I don't know how Alex Smith didn't see that, but that was something that just was beautiful. That felt like the interception with Tracy Porter in the Super Bowl. That's what that interception felt like. When that, it was just beautiful. It was that part I did see of that game. Offense stepped up big time for Drew Brees. They protected Drew Brees. They made sure, like you said, they kept the ball for 30. What the Saints had the ball for 33 minutes for the entire game, and that's something that, 33 minutes and 17 seconds for time of possession for the Saints, and that's something that was really big. And Big T did say last week Mark Ingram was going to come in, he was going to kind of slow it down, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people was mad about Kamara not playing, not getting as many touches as he should have, but I felt like he did what any true player would do. When your key player comes back, he took a step back. It wasn't like he set himself out or he didn't play. Step back, and they rested him because
he needed a rest.
Big in the first 4. He played big in the first 4 games, and that game he came in and he was just like, "Do your thing, dude." So,
yep.
That was really
but
big
you know,
of him, and a lot of people
but
are
you
mad
know,
CC, about that.
Mm-hmm. But you know, CC, the thing about it, like you said, obviously he needed his rest. You know what I'm saying? But the big picture, what people are not really pointing the finger to, is that Ingram being out those four games really showed the Saints that they need to re-sign him at the end of this year.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Oh, yes.
Because the thing about it is, number one, you know, he's a beast. I mean, with that O-line, I mean, he's definitely going to do his thing, and they're going to always ball out. He's gotten more consistent with the screen game, more so like Pierre Thomas. So he's gotten better at the screen game. So that's good. You know, second of all, the team camaraderie with him. I mean, just him being back, I mean, you got to think, like, you know, the team was hyped up. He's bringing that hypeness. You know what I'm saying? He's hyping everybody up. And, you know, him and Alvin Kamara have that 1-2 punch. They're not like, Kamara isn't like jealous of him. He's not jealous of Kamara. Like, that's solid. Like, you need that on your team, you know? Most times, you know, you got running backs where, oh, man, that dude got, he got 20 carries and I got 10 carries. This shit ain't fair. Or, you know what I'm saying? Them two bounce off each other. And they're like, man, listen, we're bros. We play. If he gets 20 carries and I get 10 carries, I'm cool with it. It is what it is. You know, as long as we win, we're good. That's the type of mentality you want to have, especially for two running backs. Yeah, it's brotherhood, you know.
But that's one thing I've always said about – the one thing I've always said about a New Orleans Saints team under Sean Payton, everybody has been unselfish. You know, you want Marcus Colston, you had when Colston was playing, you had other wide receivers, you had
Lance Moore, Henderson.
None of those guys like, I want the ball. No, they
Robert Mitchell
accept their role, exactly. Accept their role and went with it. And nobody complained. Nobody said, well, man, like, if you don't give me the ball, I won't be traded. Nobody did that. Nobody. Yep. And that's
well,
one
that's
thing
the leadership of Drew Brees right there, because Drew Brees always had his weapons, and it wasn't like he wasn't going to take from one player to get to another because that was his favorite player to throw to, and he knew they was going to catch it. No, he spread the wealth out for everybody, and he just made everybody a better player. And you notice that with players, when they went to other teams, that's like Jimmy Graham. Like, when he went to Seattle, he only was playing – and you barely heard his name. And now this season, you don't hear anything about Jimmy Graham. And,
I think he's had one touchdown all season.
Yep.
See,
touchdown.
And you're not hearing anything. But when he was with the Saints, Drew Brees had his name in every reporter's mouth.
What he had? He had like 16 touchdowns 1 year.
Yeah, one season, 1 year he did. He had a lot of touchdowns. And that's what I'm saying. He had a lot of touchdowns, and nobody complained about it. They were winning. Or they won the game or whatever, and everybody was happy. But again, you don't hear nothing from Jimmy Graham since he left the Saints at all. So,
a couple players you don't hear anything from. And that's just the leadership of Drew Brees, and that rubs off on everybody. Because it's like that on defense also. You don't see Cam Jordan taking sacks or, you know, anything away from any other player. He wants to make everybody, you know, that key player, that player that somebody has talked about. And I think that's why Davenport is coming into his own now, because they're like that 1-2 punch that it used to be with Winston Jr. and Cam Jordan. Like, they were that 1-2 punch at a point in time. So I think that's what the Saints was looking for in their defense, when the defense was kind of shaky them a couple of years, and then it started to grow and get better. So and Davenport, give him to what? Let me see. I don't know. It's going to be one of them big games, and he's just going to have, like, I don't think he can have.
They're bringing him slowly. They're bringing him in slowly but surely. But, I mean, dude's performing. They gave him the most snaps that he's played so far. This on Monday night, he played the most snaps that he's played. So he's definitely, you know, getting into the game and getting, you know, the speed of the game and stuff like that, and kind of knowing the techniques and things like that. I mean, even with Brian Baldinger, you know, he does the videos and stuff every week of breaking down techniques and O-lines and D-lines and teams. And, I mean, he even said on his breakdown of the footage of the game, he's like, man, the Saints finally found their pass rusher opposite Cam Jordan, because, I mean, this dude is a beast. I mean, if you saw the picture of him hitting Alex Smith, I mean, Alex Smith was on the ground, like, super hurt.
he was
like a baby. Yeah, he was cradled, you know? So, I mean, the dude's a beast. And, you know, Sheldon Rankins had a solid game. So, I mean, when you have Sheldon Rankins, Cam, and Davenport really going off, I mean, it's hard to slow them down. The pressure's going to be there, which obviously, you know, it, that helps the linebackers get through the gaps, and then obviously that helps the secondary because they're not covering as long as they usually are. So and that's definitely helping them out. But, yeah, man, I was definitely impressed with the defense. You know, A.J. Klein stepped up in the game outside of giving Marshon Lattimore a concussion. He stepped up in the game. He had a batted ball picked up, and he ran it. So he had a turnover in the game, which was good. And like I said, Justin Hardy did his thing. The D-line definitely created pressure. Onyemata did his thing. So, you know, and then Craig Robinson came in, and, I mean, he hit Chris Thompson. They were trying to get the ball to Chris Thompson by the end zone, and he smashed him. I mean, he smashed him. He had to go out of the game because his ribs was hurting from that hit that Curtis that Curtis hit him with, and I was like, man. So Curtis Robinson definitely did his thing. I mean, and let's also go back to the offense for a second. One thing that's very, very underappreciated, which is crazy, is that you got Mike Thomas, you got Cameron Meredith, which he stepped up big the last couple of games. You got Tre'Quan Smith, you got Kamara, now you got Ingram back. But, man, you even throw Taysom Hill on top of that with all of those players. How can you stop them? It's super hard. Yeah, it's super hard.
He's
like
my MVP like, every week. He reminds me of when Gardo was transitioning from Chris Leak to some people, and they used to bring some people in on third down to get that big third down. That's how the Saints use Taysom Hill. And like I said, every week I say wherever they put him, he's gonna play his part. He's doing punt return. And he's getting good field position for the Saints. When he's in on playing quarterback, he's gonna run the ball. He's gonna get that first down. He's my new. I always call the big players or the big receivers, not the receivers, but the big running backs, truckers. Because when he comes in, he's gonna truck over two or three defenders before they get him down. And I love that. He's that person. I told you whatever they asked him to be.
I mean, they had a play. They had the play where he was about to hand it off to Kamara, and if he would have handed it to Kamara, Kamara would have took it to the house. He was wide open, but he took it instead, and he got like three. He tried to get those yards. He got those 2-3 yards that he really needed. But when I tell you, like, it's the defense was so faked out because you got Drew Brees playing receiver, and then you got him, and then you got Kamara, and then, you know, like, he takes the snap, and then he's faking it to Kamara. And, like, I'm telling you, like, if you look at the play, if he would have gave it to Kamara, Kamara would have ran for, like, a 40-yard touchdown. So it was like, damn, like, the defense really is trying to, you know, they're preying on him. But, I mean, literally, like, I think he's going to come out. He's going to come out and be like, you know what? Look at this play. Like, if you would have gave it to Kamara, we would have had a touchdown. So be on the lookout for that play again. You know what I'm saying? So, But, man, just the mismatches that he has, it's crazy.
I think this is when the Saints are at their strongest point, when they have all these weapons that no one can stop. Because look at the year when the Saints won the Super Bowl. Drew Brees had all these receivers and running backs. Like, nobody knew where he was going. And then defense was getting the stops that's needed. I feel like that's kind of what this season is starting to feel like. Everything is starting to gel together because everybody is working together. This is what you call a team. It's not just about one person. Like, Monday's game wasn't just about Drew Brees breaking the record. It was about this team getting this win and going on this bye week and preparing for the next team that they know has a really strong defense. So you look at it as, like, I don't want to say it's no stopping the Saints, but it's going to be hard to stop them with them gelling like this and really becoming that dominant force that it's about to be, oh, my God, we're playing the Saints this week. We have to really prepare versus the first 2 weeks of the season. Everybody was just like, oh, it's the Saints. Let's go. We ready.
And you know what's crazy, CeCe? What's crazy is that they got their next game after the bye is Baltimore. Baltimore is really trying trying to replicate what the Saints are doing with Taysom Hill with Lamar Jackson. And, you know, it's not, it hasn't worked to their advantage. You know, they're not putting Lamar Jackson in the right spots. But, I mean, when you got an offensive, you know, genius like Sean Payton, you know, and he's putting, you know, Taysom Hill, Mark Ingram, Kamara, you got Mike Thomas, you still got Ginn, you still got Tre'Quan Smith, you still got Cameron Meredith. Like, it's tough to stop them. I mean, in my mind, like, in my mind, when I see that, I envision that type of play. Like, let's say they do go to the Super Bowl. Like, how the hell are you going to stop that in your, like, a defense? Like, how the hell are you going to stop that? You know? Like, you got Kamara
it's gonna be real tough out there.
Like, it's going to be tough. It's going to be super tough, tough. You know, and then also, too, you know, we kind of want to talk about the upcoming schedule, but, you know, like, they have the Ravens coming up after the bye. They got, some time to rest up. Marshawn Lattimore is going to be able to rest up and get back on the field and stuff like that for that game. But, I mean, you know, there's certain players that went out, but, you know, they're going to come back fresh. They don't really have as many, knock on wood, they don't have as many players injured as they had last year around this time, which is good. But, I mean, you got Baltimore Ravens. You know, we talked about Drew Brees breaking more records. But like I said, if Drew Brees has beaten every NFL team in his career except for the Baltimore Ravens. And if Drew Brees beats the Ravens, he's gonna be the quarterback that beat every team. Yep, that beat every team in the NFL in his career. You know, he's one shot. He's one touchdown shot from the 500 touchdown club. So that's probably going to take place against Baltimore. And, I mean, you have Baltimore. Baltimore has, I think, the number one defense in the NFL. And you got the Saints going into Baltimore. It's probably not going to be as cold as, you know, as it would be next month. But, you know, it's going to be probably in the
50s. Yeah, it's not cold.
Yeah, 50,
it's
60,
it's more windy.
It's going to be good weather. But even if it's more windy, you got that running game to take over, you know, to take over and control the clock. So so that's a good thing on their side. The defense is coming along. You got, you know, you had Justin Hardy come in, do his thing. Now the Saints know, like, all right, maybe if Crawley isn't playing good or maybe if whoever isn't playing good, let's put him in, see what he can do. There were some rumors today saying that the trade deadline is coming up and the Saints might end up trading a second-round pick and Ted Ginn Jr. to Arizona to get Patrick Peterson. I don't know how true that is, but if they can somehow pull that trade off and have Patrick Peterson and Marshawn Lattimore as their two starting cornerbacks, that is going to be tough for any opposing offense to throw the ball down the field. Because, I mean, if you look at it, if they're in that Minnesota game like they were last year, we had Patrick Peterson and Lattimore. You got Lattimore on whoever digs, and you got Patrick Peterson on Thielen. I mean, that's going to be tough. That's tough. And the D-line playing how they're playing, that's going to be tough. Like, I think that, you know, you got to put them up there with the Rams and the NFC, which they are right now, in my opinion. But, man, if they can somehow pull that trade off, that would be the ultimate, because the Cardinals do need more wide receiver presence. And, I mean, I tweeted, and I was like, man, y'all could throw Trey Hendrickson in with that deal, with the second-round pick. Give them three players for one, and let's just get them, you know? But I don't know what happened.
In the fantasy world of football, if this was fantasy football and everybody, somebody would have made that trade happen. But in real life, I don't know. Dylan, you just never know. But
The
front office, they know what they need. So they know what they would have to do. I think the only thing about the Saints that who they need to use at the moment would be Teddy. Everybody thought that, you know, they were going to take Drew Brees out and they were going to put Bridgeport in and he was going to get a couple snaps and kind of, you know, get the rust off. So I was excited to see that, but to see him just take a knee and then to end the game, I thought they were going to use
him. Well, they didn't want him. They didn't
maybe.
Want him. They only had 2 minutes left on the clock. They didn't want him to get hurt or anything like that. You know, especially with the injury history that he's had, they didn't want him to get hurt.
But, you know, just to see him come back on the field wearing those Jordan 11 Concords, it was pretty cool. So, you know, big ups to him. But, you know, what was crazy, since you talk about fantasy, going into the Monday night game, I was down 42 points. And so I have Ingram, Mike Thomas, and Chris Thompson, the running back for the Redskins, left. So I'm like, all right, cool. The guy I'm playing don't have anybody left. I got three players left. I have a good chance at getting it. You know, 42 points is hard to overcome. Well, before it was what, the three minute mark, the Saints needed one first down to ice the clock. They ended up giving Mark Ingram a touch. I needed 6 yards from Mark Ingram to get one more point because the game was tied with me and the guy. And they gave Ingram a toss play, and he got 7 yards on the play. I got the extra point, right? So I was winning by 1 point. Tell me why right after that they took Breeze out, and they brought Teddy Bridgewater, and they started kneeling. And that was the game. And I won my fantasy game by 1 point.
Wow.
Yep.
So y'all
it was crazy.
Successful because a lot of people had
152 to 151.
A lot of people had Camaro on their fantasy football team, and a lot of them lost because he didn't get as many touches as they needed.
Yeah, he only had 6 points.
Yeah,
Ingram had like 21 points. So, but hey, it's fantasy football. Obviously, they wanted to give Camaro a break, like we said. And that's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to get out of them. You're going to get the split carries. Kamara isn't going to be going for 40 points again anymore. You know, he'll probably get average them 15 to 20 points, which is good from a running back. But, you know, hey, it is fantasy football. The Saints do have multiple mouths to feed. You always got to take that into account, you know. But at the same time, you know, they're going to spread the ball. They're going to keep defenses on their toes. So, you know, if you do got Kamara, don't panic. They're going to be good. He's going to be straight. And especially he's more pass-catching running back than Ingram. So he'll definitely get some fantasy points for them and stuff. So don't trip about that. But, but yeah, Big T, like we said, I know you probably won't go to a commercial break. But
oh, no.
The schedule,
we just,
man.
Good.
All right, that's cool. So, but you know, like the schedule's coming up, man. You know, the bye couldn't have came at the best time. It's come at the best time. You know, we got a schedule coming up where we got to go to Baltimore in the evening game at 3:30 at Baltimore. So that's going to be a huge game going against the number one defense again. You know, the 500 touchdown record is up there, and then Breeze beating every NFL team if he beats the Ravens, that's up there. You know, and then you got Minnesota, Sunday Night Football. Obviously, we know what happened last year and how our season ended.
That's going to be a game that the world is going to watch. They're going to see, because with Minnesota beating the Eagles last weekend, everybody's going to want to know, well, will the Saints, you know, come back for revenge? So that's going to be a game that everybody is going to be watching. Then it's a Sunday night game. The Saints love to play in prime time. This is their stage. So I think that they are going to be – I think they're going to beat everybody. I don't know. It's going to be hard for a lot of teams to beat them.
And you're right. And the thing is, you have a lot of stuff clicking. The defense has fixed and adjusted to the stuff that they had wrong in the beginning of the season, which is good. So they've made corrections to that. But like you said, it's going to be hard to beat them, being that offense is so dynamic, and then that defense is coming along at the right time. And then you got Davenport balling like he's balling. I mean, you're going to have a solid team. But the Minnesota game, obviously you want to see how Marcus Williams is going to play in that game. You know, I mean, if he goes out and has two interceptions, I mean, obviously we're on the good side of winning if that happens. But you want to see how he bounces back, being on that field, seeing that logo, you know, hearing that horn blow, you know, and seeing Diggs and you know, it's all a mind thing. So you want to see how he bounces back against them. But you also have to remember that, you know, it was a different quarterback last year. You know, last year was Case Keenum. This year they got Kirk Cousins. So it's going to be kind of different, but obviously we want to beat that ass because of what happened last year. But it's going to be a good game.
Kirk Cousins.
Going to be.
Cousins gonna be in his feelings from last year letting the Saints when the Saints beat the Redskins, so he's gonna be in his feelings trying to redeem himself from that last year.
But I mean, then you got the Bengals in Cincinnati. I mean, they put up a they're 4-1.
Great season.
They're 4-1. They've been playing good. They've been playing really good, just like the Saints. You got the Rams, which they're 5-0. I think the Rams.
That's gonna be the toughest.
The Rams is gonna be the toughest game, but the Rams can be beaten. The Rams almost lost to Seattle last week without. If they didn't go for it on that 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2, they would have lost that game. So Seattle's offense has nothing on the Saints' offense. So, and then the game's at the Superdome. So I think, you know, it's going to be a shootout. But that's going to be the game to watch and to really see where the Saints are at. You also have to remember this: the Saints played the Rams last year in Los Angeles and almost came out with a win. I think they lost by 6 points or 7 points. So they almost came out with that win. But it's gonna be fun to see Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Gurley, and Jared Goff against the Saints defense, and then seeing the Saints offense against Marcus Peters. I don't think Aqib Talib's gonna play in that game. He's still hurt. He's out for half the season, so he's probably gonna miss the Saints game, which is good for us, but I mean, you still got Marcus Peters, you got Ndamukong Suh, you got Aaron Donald, you know, you got all of these guys, so Rockers and all of these guys. So it's definitely going to be a good matchup to see where the Saints can go head-to-head with them because, you know, right now they flying high and they feeling themselves. So if the Saints beat them, that'll kind of, you know, bring them down a little bit. But other than that, man, you got the Eagles game coming up. That, I think, is going to be going to be a good game. I think the Saints can win that game, to me, after seeing how
definitely
the Eagles played against the Vikings.
The Eagles, they're not showing themselves as the champions. They have a lot of injuries. Aren't the same team from last year. I feel like injuries are just another excuse. I think people use their injuries as an excuse because this is a professional game to me. Everybody is a professional player, so when one player goes down, another player comes in. So injuries are just the excuse. You have to find the key person. Well, the key person was the starter, but the backup has to come in and step up. So if you can't step up,
well,
then what are you in the pros for?
Yeah, and you're right. And to and a good example of that is last year with the Saints. You know, the Saints had 21 people on IR last year, and they still went to the playoffs and almost made it to the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm,
so
yep.
You know,
and another key example,
you
how Hardy came in
that.
And stepped up for Lattimore. That was a step. He came in and he stepped up and he played his part. You know, everybody tried to use. That's my biggest pet peeve in sports, because a lot of people try to use the injury as an excuse of why their team lost. That's never an excuse of an injury. Speaking from somebody that played, that cheered on a broken ankle, you know, so it's an excuse. So you can't use that excuse for everything. I'm just saying,
not meaning
to brag, you know. Everybody can't say
they we know you're a strong woman, girl.
You ain't even gotta throw it at us like that.
I know. So you know what she's saying, huh, Big T? You know what she's saying?
I know what she said.
I cheered on a broken ankle. So you know what she's trying to say? She's trying to say that Patrick Robinson the hope, because he out for the season with a broken ankle.
Definitely is.
Let me be petty. This that petty Twitter that she like.
You know, everybody try to blame everything on injuries, but it's players out here that's playing. Look at Aaron Rodgers. That's a perfect example. Look at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers went down that first game, and everybody thought that Green Bay season was just going to be over. He was going to be out for a couple of games. And he was like, no, I'm going to play through this. I'm going to put my team on my back, and I'm going to play through it. Who knows how much pain Aaron Rodgers is in right now? Nobody knows but him and the team doctors, and he's still giving his all. So it depends on what the injury is. Now, I'm not saying if you out here trying to play the legs and came out the socket, you know, arm, head, halfway hanging on. No, but if it's just something that's just, well, and I don't condone players playing on injury because it can get worse and it could be a career ending injury if it gets worse than what it was. Because me, it's bad now. So, you know, it's not something that you want to do. But that's just an excuse of saying, oh, this team has a lot of injuries and
that's
they're not
going
to play up to their potential. No.
Yeah.
No, you have other players that's being paid to do the exact same thing, so they have to step up for
the
plate.
But then
if
also
you don't step
too,
up to that
plate,
then why are you in
but
the
then
league?
Also, too. Also, too, history has shown, you know, history has shown, number one, you know, if you win the Super Bowl, obviously, you know, players leave because they got their ring and they want to get paid and stuff like that. So that's happened with them. Also, too, you know, history has shown, you know, teams that usually win the Super Bowl don't usually go back to make the playoffs the next year. So that's history.
Yeah,
you know, and then also, too, I'm just saying history has shown that most teams don't, you know what I'm saying? We're not talking about Seattle. You can keep your Russell Wilson love and stuff over there, but at the end of the day, history has shown that has happened. You know, and I don't know. They're not the same team as last year, but again, they are having some injury issues. Obviously, Bruce Foles is playing. You know, Alshon Jeffrey just came back. You know, they got some injuries all over the field. But again, like you said, that's not an excuse. You still got to play. So hey. At the end of the day, it's good for the Saints if they lose. So it is what it is because, you know, I was watching the Minnesota game, and I was like, as much as I hate Minnesota, you know, I would rather the Eagles lose that game because of Minnesota's record. Minnesota was 1-2-1 going into the game with one tie. Yeah,
right.
So, I mean, they're 2-2. The Saints are 4-1, so obviously the Saints have, you know, a better record and they're ahead of them in the conference. But the game that's really going to matter, like we said, I mean, all of them are going to matter, but for NFC purposes and standings and one number one seeds and stuff like that, it's going to be that Rams game. At some point, that Rams game, you're going to look back at it and say, man, you know, we got that win that helped us get the first seed, or, oh, damn, we lost to them. That's why we got the second seed. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to come down. That's going to be an important game. And it's going to be a tough game for them. You know, their rushing defense has been very, very good, which is pretty, like, crazy because usually they give up a lot of yards to opposing running backs. But this year, they've been doing pretty good. I mean, they've been giving up, like, average of 30 yards, 40 yards a game to opposing running backs. That's super solid. So to see them go against Gurley and that O-line, that's going to be huge for them to see how they get him sacked in the backfield and not get him going. But also, too, to see the Saints go against Brandon Cooks, which probably Lattimore is going to be on, Cooper Kupp, which probably Crawley is going to be on, or Robert Woods, Crawley, or P.J. Williams is going to be on. So that's going to be a huge matchup for the Saints. And just seeing how that O-line, our O-line, matches up against Aaron Donald and Sue, that's going to be huge because, like I said, last year they played them. So they know, all right, Donald likes to do this. He knows he likes to do this move or this spin move or this technique. So they know that now going into that game. And then now you have to add that with Sue. That's going to be tough. So that's why I said that O-line is really going to, you know, show that they're one of the top O-lines in the NFL against that Rams D-line. So that game I'm really excited to look for. But going, you know, before that game, obviously we have Baltimore. Obviously we have Cincinnati. Obviously we have Minnesota. And seeing how they go against Thielen and Diggs again is going to be, you know, prepare them for that Rams game against Kupp and Robert Woods and Cooks. So I'm telling you, man, these next 4 or 5 games is going to be Gonna be tough. I mean, if they can go 4-1 again for the second half of the season, you know, and then that later part of the season, you know, obviously we got Carolina twice, we got Atlanta on Thanksgiving night, which I think they're gonna beat the hell out of Atlanta. Atlanta's missing too many defensive players. You know, obviously they can go toe to toe with us as far as offense, but I think that, you know, they'll beat Atlanta again, end up sweeping them for the season. Carolina, obviously, we played them on a Monday night game in Carolina, then we played them last game here. That's going to be tough, man. Those two games are going to be tough because, hey, let's be honest, they still remember us, you know, partying in that locker room and with the broom and sweeping their ass and stuff like that. So
they're going to come out and be mad and pissed off at the Saints. So that, those two games are going to be crucial. And you still got Tampa Bay and Tampa. I don't know what it is about the Dallas game. Dallas game is going to be a good one. I'm actually going to that game in Dallas. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think if they stop Zeke, I think they have a really good chance of winning. Again, their rushing defense has been playing solid. If they continue that, they can definitely shut Zeke down. And I think their rushing defense has gotten better. Especially later on in the year last year, and then, you know, beginning of this year. Reason being is, hey, let's face it, the Saints are practicing against Kamara and now Ingram every practice. So how could you not prepare for opposing, you know, offenses? They have the two solid they got the running backs to practice against. So so that's helping them out in the practice and now and in the game. So so I think, you know, stopping Gurley, they'll be playing against Dalvin Cook probably when they play Minnesota. He's been out. But if they don't get Dalvin Cook, obviously they'll have Latavius Murray to stop, which I think they can. The Eagles running back situation is all up in the air. Jay Ajayi's out for the season. He tore his ACL. You know, Darren Sproles has been hurt. They got Wendell Smallwood, who's they're trying to plug in right now, but he's having injury problems himself. So we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, you still got Christian McCaffrey on up. I mean, it's going to be tough all around because they play in the NFC South. But, hey, at the end of the day, and also, too, let's not forget, Le'Veon Bell is going to be back for that game, the second-to-last game against the Saints in the Dome. They got to play Antonio Brown. I mean, it's going to be tough. That schedule is tough. But at the same time, I think, you know, the Saints always bring their A game against tough teams. So I don't think they're going to struggle as much as people think they're going to struggle. You know, but, hey, you know, Tampa Bay was a slap in their face, which was a good slap in their face because they woke up after that loss. But at the end of the day, you know, you still got Tampa Bay on the schedule in Tampa, and that's going to be a tough game. I went to that game last year in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay plays the Saints hard, regardless. So,
they know
Tampa Bay beat them week one. That's good for them. Now they got a revenge game. Now they have material to put on the board and say, hey, this is the first team that beat our ass. Like, they beat them. They put 40-something points on us. Let's go out there and whip their ass on their field. You know, and they beat us last year in Tampa Bay on the last play with Chris Godwin. So let's go out there and beat their ass. So you got bulletin material, you know, and I feel like they're going to come out. They're going to play good against these teams. The good thing is, for the Saints is the Rams game's at home. The Steelers game's at home. The Eagles game's at home. You know, the Atlanta game is at home.
Or their home game's there, their home crowd.
Yeah.
And the Atlanta game, like, they have a home crowd that's going to pump them up.
Yep. And if you think about it, if the Saints can finish out the season winning all of their home games, right? If they can win all of their home games, then they'll be a 12-win team. So if they can be a twelve win team going into the playoffs, you're looking at 12-4. 12-4, that's going to get you probably first or second seed in the NFC. Especially how the NFC's been playing lately, you know, outside of the Rams, it's up for grabs. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you win your home games, just win your home game, and then you're good. You'll be a 12-4 team. You know, and you're good. And you're going into the playoffs, you'll probably have a first-round bye. You get everybody healthy, and then, boom, you win two games, and you're in the Super Bowl. So, we'll see.
All game. So,
I think
let's
everybody
do
was nervous that first home game. They got their nerves going. It's going to be a good season.
Yeah.
We're going to be good. We're going to be straight. But, look, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to jump into – Nate, do you have any NFL news, or you want to bypass the NFL news tonight?
Nah, we're going straight to NBA, man. The NBA season about to start, so we got to do a few little nuggets on that, and then, yeah.
All right, we're going to do that. We'll come back. We'll do NBA, do a little Pels, and then, excuse me, then we'll We'll talk our NFL picks. I'm not gonna pick every game this week. I'm gonna pick the most important games to pick this week. And get out of here tonight. So y'all stay tuned. You're listening to WTXG Talk Radio. It's Overtime Sports Talk. We'll be right back.
Actually, I prefer a nice mead.
Barkeep, Bud Lights for everyone and a mead.
Is it autumnal?
Bud Lights for everyone and one autumnal mead.
Is it malty and full-bodied? Because I like malt.
Cancel that mead.
Bud Light, for the many, not the few.
DirecTV Now gives you more for your thing. Get all the good stuff about TV without all the bad stuff.
Yes.
You can still stream your favorite shows.
Yes.
With no annual contract.
Wait, what?
It's live TV.
Yes.
With no satellites.
What?
And no bulky hardware.
No bulky hardware.
Isn't that great news?
Yes.
No.
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 No. Try DirecTV Now for $10 a month for 3 months. More for your thing. That's our thing. Visit DirecTVNow.com.
And we are back live right here with our Sports Talk, WTXD Talk Radio. We're going to jump into this NBA news. This NBA, Cece, I know she's the resident Pelicans expert. So we're going to jump on some NFL news. But before we jump into that, me and Nate were talking a little bit earlier about this Jimmy Butler dude. That dude crazy.
Did y'all see the interview?
That dude crazy. Something wrong with that dude.
Crazy. It's crazy. I mean, you know, obviously, it's just crazy, man. Like, how you demand a trade 3 weeks ago, then you go to training camp, and you practicing with the team on the court, and you talking smack to Carl Anthony Towns, saying, you know, y'all need me, y'all ain't shit without me, y'all can't guard me. Man, this dude wilding.
Wilding out, man.
He's
gonna play around Phoenix. Keep talking.
Well, to me personally, he's not all that to me, and that's just my personal opinion. I don't think he that close to me. Like, I just feel like he's just an average player. And the thing is, it's like the thing about him, like he said in the interview, I pride myself on being a competitor, and I want to win, and I want to win, and I want to win. But at the same time, bro, you're trying to get traded to Miami? What you think you're gonna go do in Miami? You think you're gonna win? With Boston?
No, he think he's gonna get Gabrielle Union to be waiting. Gonna shut that down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
that's what it is. He's trying to get
Are you trying to win? Or are you just trying to get money? You know what I'm saying? Because you're not trying to win. You're just trying to make money.
Nowadays in the league, everybody is all about getting money. So if they're gonna try to go somewhere with it, a contender, and get that little extra money that they can use.
I wouldn't say that because I wouldn't say everybody's about money because as we know, Cousins declined $40 million deal to go to the Warriors.
5 million.
They gave him a $40 million deal. That's what I'm saying. So he's
just
going out there to try to get a championship. They're chasing the rings. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, listen, and a lot of people, we always have this argument. At the end of the day, you cannot argue that. Reason being is this. It's kind of like this, all right? All right, if KD did, and I know Big T's, what you call it, he's sensitive to this subject. If KD didn't beat the Thunder, I know the whole thing of him not, you know, they could have beat Golden State the next year, blah, blah, blah. You join in a team that you just could have beat, blah, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, if KD didn't make that decision, he would not have 2 rings right now. Number one. Number two, it's kind of like Charles Barkley. Everybody listens to Charles Barkley on TNT, and whenever the games come on, the pregame shows and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when you always think of Charles Barkley, you think, oh, he's a funny dude, or he's retarded, but he still doesn't have a ring. He never got a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy that
you could be loyal to a team and never get a ring. That's all it was with Charles Barkley. He was loyal. I look at everybody who mostly didn't get a ring back in that era. It's because they were mostly loyal. If he would have left and probably joined the Lakers or joined the Bulls or joined Boston or the Knicks, he probably would have got a ring.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
But he was loyal to Phoenix.
And loyal to the
loyalty. Yeah. Yeah, nobody is loyal no more. But
nope,
yeah.
Not no more. So Fifi, tell us what's going on with your Pelicans right now.
They losing in the preseason, Big T. That's what's going on. We are 3 in the preseason. So last week, they played last Friday, they lost to the Knicks. Wasn't a bad loss. Mirotić had 19 points, if I'm not mistaken, in that loss. So they're kind of just playing each player, just trying to get a feel on who's going to be a starter, who's going to play before they cut the roster down to the 15-man roster. So they're trying to see who's all stepping up to the play. And they're actually playing right now. They're losing by 20 to Miami. I'm up to scratching my head really hard because I'm trying to figure out how we're losing to Miami. But yeah, they're losing. It's third quarter right now, 10 minutes, 19 seconds up. They're losing 63-83. Their last preseason game is tomorrow. They play Toronto
They're not playing Anthony Davis or Jrue Holiday tonight either.
Yeah. I understand that. And that goes back to what we were saying in football. Even though your key players may not be playing, somebody has to step up.
It's kind of hard in the NBA, though. NBA, it's kind of hard because, like, You kind of juggling it, and it's kind of hard because, I mean, you got a guy who's probably the top two player in the NBA, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he's scoring, 30 points a game? And you just think somebody's just going to come in and score 30? It's hard. Football's a little different, you know what I'm saying? Basketball, I mean, you know, obviously they have reserves and stuff like that, but you can't depend on somebody to come off the bench and put up Anthony Davis numbers. You just can't, like, and then obviously it's preseason, you know what I'm saying? It's preseason. It's not like regular season, you know, but I don't know. I think me personally,
I always say preseason is a learning lesson for every team and every sport. It's how you figure out what your manpower is, where your weakness is, what your strengths are. So it's for them to figure out what everything would be, but they have to figure it out very fast because the Pelicans do not have a weak schedule starting off. Like, the first 10 games are all top teams that we're playing.
But
so it's like we got OKC, we got Houston, we have the Warriors, we have they don't play Lakers later, but they have top teams that they're playing in the first 10 games alone.
The thing about it, though, CeCe, is that you know this. They have preseason and stuff like that, but it's kind of like the Saints. The Saints had preseason, you know what I'm saying? And look at them. They came out week one, and they was trash. I mean, like, they didn't do shit. So it's like, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to sit your main players down, the players that obviously are attracting people to your games and making you guys money and stuff like that. But, listen, the first 10 games is going to be a building process for them. That's going to be their preseason. I wouldn't really take the preseason that's going on right now. You know, I would take it with a grain of salt because I'm telling you, you know, you, and then also too, CeCe, you know this. They've had players the last couple of games out. You know, Julius Randle, Frank Jackson had an injury, an ankle injury. Okafor's like, you know what I'm saying? So like, they got players that's been out. So even if, let's say, two of those players were playing tonight, you know what I'm saying? They still not gonna gel. Because the whole team isn't playing with one. So they're going to be straight. You know, obviously the first game against Houston is going to be tough. That's going to be a tough game. Last year they had Cousins. And when I tell you, I went to that game, they were smashing Houston. They were smashing them. I mean, they switched James Harden on Cousins.
Like, are y'all retarded? Like, that's how the mismatch was. So, you know, that game's going to be
only
tough.
Thing I'm worried
the Warriors
about,
game is going to be tough.
Only thing I'm worried about with the first game of the season, with them playing Houston next Wednesday, 7 o'clock in Houston. I don't know why I thought it was a home game. But the only thing I'm really worried about is Melo. A lot of people aren't talking about Melo this season, like in the preseason, nor were they talking about. Stop doing Melo that. I like Melo. Melo is one of my best friends
Melo
in my head that I usually
see.
Melo
is trash.
Just because I love
Lala.
Lala is my best friend, so I be like.
Melo is
trash.
Melo isn't with the Nuggets anymore. Melo's been trash since he left the Nuggets.
He wasn't trash with the Knicks.
He was trash with the Knicks. Man, Melo be putting up all them damn shots and that boy be bouncing them holes off the rim. That boy got paid all of that money to do nothing. I could have fucking shot those shots and took the half of the money that he got. That boy is trash. That boy is trash.
I think he's
going to
play well.
He signed with OKC last year, CC thinking he was going to bring something to them, and that boy was bricking the ball in the playoffs. How the fuck y'all lose to the Jazz in the first round? The Jazz.
Hey.
Like, people was like, oh,
hey.
when they play the Warriors in the playoffs, they're going to give them a hit. Man, that boy is trash.
It's a different stage.
But you want me to tell you why that boy trash? And this is why he has been trash? Because he's been cheating on his old lady. And that's what happened. Ever since he's been cheating on his old lady, that's when God been punishing him, and he ain't been doing shit. And that's bad.
But Lala forgave him. They're happy. That's what she said. Because somebody asked her a question about that, and she was like, I'm with my
Lala
man.
Lala
want
that
happy
money.
In
Lala
good
want that money.
She has her own money.
Lala
has her own
money.
She
ain't trying to
her own money.
But Lala got money. She got money, but she ain't got no $200 million.
She got his. He cheated again. That's all hers, so it don't matter. But
yes, indeed.
Oh, wow. Next Wednesday. Hopefully we get the win out. Hopefully we win tomorrow at home. And hopefully all them Saints fans that was in the Superdome on Monday come out tomorrow, 7 o'clock, last preseason game. And just cheer this squad on and make them feel welcome, because I always feel like my Pelicans are the ugliest stepchild that nobody likes to see, that y'all, everybody just go to the game just because it's something to do. So I want everybody to be in the game tomorrow. I may be in the game. It all depends on if I'm going out or not.
You
look
like you're about to play on the court the way you've been talking.
Hey, let me tell you, I get these courtside seats next Friday. You never know, I might have to, and it's home opening.
Girl,
I always go to home opening. That's a tradition for me. So I get my courtside seats.
Who they play?
I might have
who
to run on
the
court.
The
Kings. Sacramento.
Wow. Tickets going to be $60. He's going to be straight.
That's what's up.
Now, Big T, before we get out of here, I got one thing to say. That's it. I don't even want to see nothing else no more on this show. I want to give a big shout out to Alvin Kamara wearing that Colin Kaepernick jersey That picture made all them racist white people mad.
Yeah.
So guess
they
what?
Sure did.
Fuck y'all, straight up.
And you know what? After he wore it, I saw it on TV. The next day, I wore my Colin Kaepernick jersey. I ain't even care.
I'm gonna get one.
That's how we
roll. I'm gonna buy one.
I got one.
Everybody was really in their feelings already about Kamara, and especially like the white people, they were definitely in their feelings about that. I didn't think that was
like,
going to make like a big
anymore.
Deal, but that was just
anymore.
I want Drew Brees to make a stand and wear it, or hold a jersey up or something, like take a picture with the jersey or something and see how they erupt. He kind of shut the internet down. Under them comments, I was reading everybody's comments underneath all the sports pages that reported it, and you can see the racism is very much still there.
Oh yeah,
so they didn't
is.
Know that his family was from Liberia,
that,
so
I mean,
they were just
I
like,
mean, that
he
that
can go back
changed.
To Africa.
That hasn't changed, man. I mean, even after this Martin Luther King speech and everything, it still hasn't changed. It's not going to change. People are just stupid.
It's never going to change.
They look at color.
All
they look at race.
Do,
they look at stupid
yeah.
stuff. It's dumb. You don't
All they're
going to
do is
like,
just, it never changes. I just was talking to one of my coworkers about that. Racism would never change. They're just going to kind of keep covering it up. And the more that they keep covering it up, it's going to keep resurfacing because it's always going to be somebody. And racism is something that's taught. It's not something that somebody is born with. It's something that they're taught.
That's correct.
Teaching their children that hatred. So it's going to keep growing from generation to generation, and it's never going to stop. Never.
Will they have a day
where they can say, oh, my God, racism is dead? No. As soon as they say that, you're racist.
Nope.
Shout out to Alvin Kamara for that, for sure.
Definitely.
That's all I want to say, JT.
Now, let's see. I'm gonna pick six of the top games for this week that we're gonna pick, and so we can get out of here. All right, let's go with the first game, Thursday night game, Eagles and Giants.
Eagles.
I'm gonna go Giants. I'm thinking the Giants might pull out a win.
All right, I'm going Eagles. I'm gonna take Eagles. The Giants have been kind of. They almost won that game against Carolina, and the dude would keep that 63-yard field goal. But I'm going to go Eagles. All right, we got the Panthers at the Redskins.
I'm going to go Panthers.
I want the Redskins to win so bad.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know, but after the Saints lighting their ass up, I think the Panthers going to kill them.
I think so, too. I think the Panthers will win that one, too. All right, I'm doing this game just for CC. Seattle at the Raiders.
Of course, Seattle is gonna win. What do you mean?
Yeah, Seattle. I'm starting Doug Baldwin this week on my fantasy team.
All right, this should be a good game.
Definitely.
The Steelers at the Bengals.
I'm going Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Cincinnati too.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Cincinnati on that one too.
The Sunday night game is crazy, bro.
Yeah, that could be a career. I'm gonna pull that one. Let's see, the Rams at the Broncos.
Rams.
Okay. And then we got the Sunday night game: the Chiefs at the Patriots.
Definitely going Chiefs.
That's gonna be a good ass game.
I'm taking the Chiefs.
I'm gonna go Patriots. I think Chiefs can take first L this week. Yep.
Okay.
Cause y'all gotta think. Number one, Belichick ain't gonna let that boy scramble. He gonna put a spy on him. Number two, they gonna take away. Belichick is a genius. They gonna take away, they Tyreek Hill, and they gonna make them throw the ball to Kelsey and what's his name? Sammy
Watkins.
So he's
gonna put this pressure on his rookie and make him.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna give him coverages and all kinds of stuff that he ain't never seen. I'm telling you, like. You cannot downplay what Belichick can do. So, I'm telling you, I don't be surprised if New England win that game. But I think the Chiefs are going to win. But don't be surprised if New England win that game. I'm telling you now. Especially if they're playing at home, too. So, don't be surprised.
Okay. That's what's up. So, those are our picks for the week. Next week, we'll get back to our regular schedule program and get picking all the games. Great show tonight, guys. Next Wednesday we'll be back live again.
The Pelicans will be playing next Wednesday.
Yeah, we will be updating the Pelicans game season opener for the Pels against the Houston Rockets on next week. So y'all stay tuned for that. Any last words, guys? What y'all got before we get out of here?
Congratulations!
Thank God for the bye week.
Put the city on your shoulders.
Thank God for the bye week. definitely. So, with that being said. Thank y'all for listening to Overtime Sports Talk right here on WTXG Radio. Y'all be good, and we'll see y'all next Wednesday.
And we out.
About the W, I'ma bring it home when it's over with. I'ma be the king of the throne. Now who can stop me? I'm in the zone. Competition none in a league of my own. All about the W, I'ma bring it home when it's over with. I'ma be the king of the throne. I'm in the zone. I'm in the zone. The competition whack. Tell them let's get it on.
Let's go.
My hustle game crazy and I'ma finish strong. You threw up so many bricks, you probably could build a home. I done came a long way, this is what the grind make. Everybody want the shine, don't know what the shine take. You mad that I'm playing, call it sideline. Hey, it ain't over till it's over, buzzer be the mind state. If I ain't in the zone, huh? Then what you call this? They ask me how I do it, I tell them all risk. Why y'all miss?
What?
I could probably do a backflip.
gonna slap.